Good evening. Let's open tonight's services with hymn number 7 from your Spiral Gospel Hymns hymnbook, number 7, and let's all stand together. The head that once was crowned with thorns is crowned with glory now. A royal diadem adorns the mighty victor's brow. The highest place that heaven affords belongs to him by right, the King of kings and Lord of lords and heaven's eternal light. The joy of all who dwell above, the joy of all below, to whom he manifests his love and grants his name to know. To them the cross with all its shame, with all its grace is given. Their name an everlasting name, their joy the joy of heaven. Please be seated.
Good evening. Let's open our Bibles together to Psalm 87 for our call to worship. Psalm 87. We had our required community meeting here last night, and as we hoped, no one showed up. So that's a good thing. No neighbors came to object of our plans. So we'll present those. The minutes to that meeting will be presented to the city. It was me and Tricia and what's your name? And Janelle, we're here. all right, Psalm 87, verse 1. His foundation, we know who that is. Christ is the foundation. He is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee, O city of God, Selah. I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon to them that know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre and Ethiopia. This man was born there. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. As well the singers as the players on instruments shall be there. All my springs. Now, you know Zion, the holy mountain. That's a reference to the church. Notice how this psalm ends. All my springs, all the fountains of grace, all the blessings of God are in her. Our Heavenly Father, oh, how hopeful we are that you'd be pleased to open that fountain of life for sin and for cleansing. Lord, we come before you in need of your grace, in need of your mercy. We're in need of seeing thy dear Son and finding in him all our salvation and all our joy, all our righteousness, all our justification before thee. Pray that you would open the springs of water, the water of life, and that you would enable us to drink freely. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
Number 229 from the hardback hymnal. Let's all stand together again. 229. Tell me the old, old story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story simply as to a little child, for I am weak and weary and helpless and defiled. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story slowly that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon, the early dew of morning has passed away at noon. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the story softly with earnest tones and grave. Remember I'm the sinner whom Jesus came to save. Tell me the story always, if you would really be, in any time of trouble, a comforter to be. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Tell me the same old story when you have cause to fear that this world's empty glory is costing me too dear. Yes, and when the world's glory is dawning on my soul, tell me the old, old story. Christ Jesus makes thee whole. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story. Tell me the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Please be seated.
Will you open your Bibles with me to Zechariah chapter 10. Zechariah chapter 10. I've titled this message, Fighting the Good Fight. fighting the good fight. This is a spiritual battle that all of God's people are engaged in. And the irony of fighting in this fight is that victory is only won through surrender. And the Lord makes it clear that we are to labor to enter into his rest. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've kept the faith. That's what it is to fight the good fight. That's what it is to finish the course. It is to keep looking in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ as our conqueror. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give unto me in that day, and not me only. Now, I'm still quoting that passage from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Not me only, but to all them that wait for his appearing. So, every believer is called of God to engage in a spiritual warfare. In our text, in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 5, they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle. They shall fight. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. Now, the horse in the scripture is a symbol of strength. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. This battle that you and I are fighting is a spiritual battle that's fought in the heart between the flesh and the spirit. Every child of God is painfully aware of the reality of this spiritual warfare. They long for that day of uninterrupted peace. Every child of God knows that they have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has already got the victory. He has already conquered Satan. Hell has been defeated. The grave has been opened, and there's no battle to be fought there. He's won that battle. let me show you that in Exodus. Chapter 14. The children of Israel are standing on the banks of the Red Sea. The Egyptians, Pharaoh and his army, are pursuing hot behind them. God has put a cloud between them and the Egyptian army, and Moses is standing there looking at the Red Sea thinking, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And in Exodus chapter 14, at verse 13, Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. You're not going back to Egypt. I'm going to drown the Egyptians in the sea. And look at the next verse. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Hold your peace. Don't raise a finger. Don't try to turn around and fight the Egyptians. I'm going to take care of them. You hold your peace. hold on to your peace. Hold on to Christ. And the battle's not yours. It's the Lord's. That's the battle of redemption. And the Lord has fought that battle, and he has won that battle, and we have gotten the victory in our conqueror, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has drowned Pharaoh and his army and has brought us safely. All the Egyptians came across on dry land. The scripture says they walked through that Red Sea by faith. Now that's a picture of our redemption. We don't engage in that battle. We don't fight that battle. He fought it for us. We do what? Hold our peace. Hold our peace. The Lord's going to fight this battle for you. Hold your peace. Now, once they got across the Red Sea and they found themselves in the wilderness, they had some struggles, didn't they? They were needing water. They were needing bread. They were needing direction. And now the battle begins. And the Lord directs them step by step through that wandering in the wilderness. And that's where we are. That's where we are. We are being called on by God here in Zechariah chapter 10 to fight the good fight of faith. We long for that day, as I said, for that uninterrupted peace. We have peace with God, but the peace of God is being interrupted, isn't it, by the battle that rages in our hearts between our flesh and our spirit. The battle to believe God, the battle to trust him, the battle to rest in Christ is a battle that we fight all the days of our lives. We keep hoping that it will get easier, but with each skirmish, it only reveals more and more of our weaknesses and more of our inability and more of our dependence upon Christ. And so as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ, these battles that we are fighting, this battle of faith, is the means by which the Lord grows us and causes us to depend upon Christ. The scripture refers to these struggles as necessities. They're necessities. They're what the Lord has ordained for us. We could say that the way up is down. And that's true, isn't it? It is true. In our text, we are not only called on to engage in this spiritual warfare, but we are also promised a victory. We're promised a victory. Notice what the Lord said in Zechariah chapter 10 at verse 5, "And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the streets in the battle, and they shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded." Now here we have a picture that the Lord's given us of foot soldiers that are holding the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, in one hand. They're holding the shield of faith in the other hand, and their feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel, and they're fighting men on horses. And the scripture says that those along the riders on the horses shall be confounded. As I said a moment ago, the horse is a picture in the scripture of man's strength. God said, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." You're not going to fight this fight on a horse. God's going to have to knock us off our high horses, isn't he? Just like he did for Saul of Tarsus. And so the battle that we're engaged in is not so much against someone else. It's against the horse of our own making. That thing that we would trust in for our strength outside of Christ. And that horse needs to be confounded, doesn't he? Turn with me over to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12. Look at verse 4. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open my eyes upon the house of Judah, and I will smite every horse of the people with blindness. Now, there's the battle that the Lord has put us in. And he says, I'm gonna smite your horses with blindness. Every time you attempt to find your hope or your trust or your satisfaction outside of Christ, I'm gonna smite that horse with blindness and cause you to see that all of your hope and all of your salvation is completely bound up in him. And so these losses that you have are actually going to be victories, because in each loss, and how many losses we all experience in this warfare that we're engaged in, and every loss becomes a victory. Every time we trust in a horse, and the Lord has to make that horse blind, we come to realize once again, all of my hope is in Christ. He is my life. He's all my salvation, and he's all my desire, though he make it not to grow. We look at our own lives and we think, well, there's no spiritual growth here. We do grow in grace because we find ourselves more and more dependent upon Christ. But when we look at ourselves, we think, though we make it not to grow, my spiritual progress is I don't see it. I don't see it. All I see is the battle that I'm in and the losses that I have. In Genesis chapter 49, Jacob is blessing each of his sons, and he blesses Dan. And Dan's name is translated judgment. And he says of Dan, he says, you will be like an adder that will bite the heel of the horses and cause the riders to fall. And that's what the judgment of God does, doesn't it? Every time we try to find something outside of Christ for our hope, the adder of God's judgment bites the heel of that horse and causes the rider once again to fall into the dirt and to find himself trusting Christ. So that's a good thing. These battles are good. It's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. You war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in high places. I was looking at I heard recently that our annual budget next year in America is we're going to be allocating $700 billion for our military, and that's a good thing. But then I thought, well, how does that compare to the rest of the world? Well, you add up China and Russia and the next eight nations, and they come up to what one nation is spending. China's about $250 billion, and Russia is about $70 billion, about one tenth of what we're spending. Now, what's my point? My point is that if America wanted to take over the world, I guess they could with the strength of their military, if they wanted to be an aggressor. But with all that power, with all that power, all the strength of America, could not fight the battle that we're talking about right now. No, no, it's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. No amount of power, no amount of strength, no horse, regardless of how strong he is, can engage in this warfare. And you can't engage in it, and I can't engage in it. It's something the Lord has to enable us to do. Go back with me to Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Look at verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider had he thrown into the sea. Look at verse 19 in that same chapter. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Look at verse 21. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Oh, how many times we mount that beast. We get on that horse thinking, I'm gonna run this race on the back of a horse. And God says, no, go back with me to our text. Go back with me to our text. And they shall be as mighty men which tread down the enemies in the mire of the street in the battle. And they shall fight because the Lord was with them. And the riders on the horses shall be confounded. Listen to what David said in Psalm 33, verse 17. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. All the military might of this great country that you and I live in cannot deliver one soul from the spiritual battle that only the Lord can do. He's the only one that can do it. Turn with me to Psalm 76. Psalm 76. Look at verse 5. The stout-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into a deep sleep. Oh, Lord, cause it to be that I cannot find my hands. Cause it to be that I don't look to my works for any of my hope. Cause it to be that I don't mount that horse of pride and self-righteousness thinking that I can deliver myself. That's what the Lord's saying here. My people are going to fight, but they're going to fight on their feet. They're not going to be on a horse. The rider, the horse, and the riders have been thrown into the sea. All the things that men trust. Again, I read Psalm 33, verse 7. A horse is a vain thing for safety. A horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will call upon the name of the Lord our God. This battle is won in prayer and through preaching. It's not engaged by brawling. It's not engaged by the strength of the flesh. The flesh can fight a lot of battles, but this battle can't be fought in the flesh. It can only be fought in the power of the Spirit of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. The Lord's telling us in our text, my people are going to fight. And they're going to be engaged in a battle. And I'm going to be with them. And in that battle, their horses are going to be knocked out from under them. And I'm going to make sure that they get the victory. Now, what is the victory? What is the victory? The victory is believing God to the end. That's the victory. It's having, that's what Paul said. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I'm ready. The Lord has enabled me to believe God to the end. And these battles that I've been engaged in have been for the purpose of causing me to trust God. Showing me the vanity of my horses. That's what God's doing. He's showing us how weak and unable our horses are. Ephesians chapter 6, look with me at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Trust Christ for your strength. That's what Paul said. His strength is in my weakness. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's where the battle is. It's not against flesh and blood. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand. Remain right here. Stand right here on this rock. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. That comes by preaching. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. See, this battle's fought in the closet. It's fought in prayer. It's fought by the Spirit of God in the preaching of the gospel. That's where the battle's fought. There's no mention in this spiritual armor of horses, is there? The Lord doesn't say anything about getting on a horse. No. For though we walk in the flesh, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, for though we walk in the flesh, we war not after the flesh. Turn with me to that passage, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We walk in the flesh, and the Spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit, so that we cannot be what we would be. We long for that day of uninterrupted peace. Our peace is interrupted now, isn't it? Our peace with God is not ever going to be interrupted. That battle's been fought. That battle's been won. But the peace of God, our experience. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not by wisdom. They're not by argument. They're not by anything. They are spiritual. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing in every captivity, bringing in every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's the battle. Looking to Christ and His perfect obedience to the Father. He was obedient, the Scripture says, even unto death. He laid down His life for His sheep. There's our hope. That's why Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4 that we labor to enter into His rest. That's the battle. The battle is to get off the horse, to trust Christ, to rest in Him, and to see that this is a spiritual battle against principalities and powers. We're not fighting men. Not even fighting ourselves. We're fighting spiritual battles here. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. You know, I was thinking, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom in the churches. God hates contention. He hates brawlers. You know, one of the qualifications of an elder is that he cannot be a brawler. He cannot be looking for a fight. Is that just for the elder? No, the elder is just one who has proven himself to show some spiritual maturity. Those things are for every one of us. We're not fighting in a physical fight here. It's a spiritual fight. So what do we do when we're confronted by man? Well, look at Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 at verse 26. Verse 27. But I say unto you, which hear? You have ears to hear. Let him who have ears to hear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto them that smiteth thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away the cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if you love them which love you, what thank have you? For sinners also love those that love them. And if you do good to them which do good unto you, what thank have you? For sinners also do the same. And if you lend to them to whom you have hope to receive, what thank have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, wherewith it shall be measured to you again. May God make us gracious to those who would despitefully use us. The Lord gives us those experiences once again to get us off our high horse and to cause us to trust Christ. One other verse, Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. Verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. We run into situations in this world where God puts people in our lives in order to try to stir up contention, doesn't he? And they're all means for the Lord to say, "No, the battle's not yours. It's you get off that horse. Wait on me. I've got this. Go back with me to our text. We'll read verse 5 one more time. "And they shall be as mighty men which tread down their enemies in the mire of the street in the battle. They shall fight because the Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. And I will strengthen the house of Judah, and I will save the house of Joseph, and I will bring them again to place them, put them in their place. For I have mercy upon them, and they shall." Notice how many times in that verse God says, "I will strengthen, I will save, I will bring them again, I will have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and will hear them." Now that word "hear" doesn't just mean, you know, sometimes somebody say, "Yeah, I heard you. No, that word "hear" means not only to listen, but to answer. And God says, they shall come to me in their battles. I'm going to do this. They're going to find themselves in need of me. And when they come, and when they call on me, I will listen to them, and I will answer them, and I will deliver them from every enemy, and I will keep them and present them faultless before my Father, faithful to the end. That's the purpose of all these things. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Might it be so in our hearts, in our experience, causing us to trust Christ for everything. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. Number 374. Let's stand together. 374.
Jesus calls us o'er the tumult of our life's wild, restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice soundeth, saying, "Christian, follow me." Jesus calls us from the worship of the vain world's golden store, from each idol that would keep us, saying, "Christian, love me more." In our joys and in our sorrows, days of toil and hours of ease, still he calls in cares and pleasures, "Christian, love me more than these." Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may we hear thy call. Give our hearts to thy obedience. Serve and love thee best of all.